So hello and welcome back to another week of Aster's Economic Week in Review. Today is November 19th. With us always is John Eckstein, Chief Investment Officer. John, how are you?
I'm great, Mac. How are you doing?
Doing great, John. Just dealing with the kids back at home, doing e-learning, just more 2020 nonsense.
Yep. End is in sight. End is in sight, though.
Yes, yes. That's what they say. So let's jump right in, John. You know, we do have some changing, I guess, trends or overall feeling in the labor markets is where we usually start off. So today, again, is the 19th. It's Thursday. It means that jobless claims came out this morning. There's a surprise to the downside, right? John, why don't you walk us through what you see?
Yeah. So, downside meaning the economy a little bit worse than we thought it was going to be, the claims higher than we thought they were going to be. So, you know, again, this story hasn't changed too much. More than a million people knew initial claims for unemployment insurance this last week. That's split between state claims and federal program. And again, if we look at the level of the insured unemployment rate with perhaps some double counting, that's sitting at, you know, maybe 8%. The number of people on these programs is moving down. Has been moving down slowly over the past few weeks, and it was, you know, up a little bit this week. It's not, being up a little bit isn't that much different than being down a tiny amount either. So,
but isn't it more concerning that it's more the trend, right? Like we, it's still such a large number.
The trend is not improving.
The trend is not our friend in this case, and it had been over the course of the summer. And we can point to the obvious, which is the continued shutdowns, definitely across the northern half of the United States.
Yeah, and I think that, again, like we've said before, like it's not really it's this virus, not the shutdowns, right? So like people are watching the news and they're going to stay at home on their own.
But is that the case though? I mean, I would have to, I think that there are a decent amount of people that are going to stay at home because of the virus, or at least change their behavior and their habits. But there's also a large group of people that would continue to go to a restaurant, maybe irresponsibly, but with the restaurants all shutting down, knowing that no one can come in, they have no choice but to let all their people go because they can't be open, even if there would be a 10 or 15 or 25% flow into the restaurants or the service industry. There still would be some people working.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I guess I see it much more as a continuous process and less of a discrete one of people waiting around for the government to say, oh, no, it's too dangerous. I mean, there will be some of that effect, of course. Shutdowns are increasing rather than decreasing as they were for the, you know, from say June till the end of October. But either way, like I think the direction is clear, right? Like,
right.
It's not coming under control.
What are your concerns, John? Or I guess not concerns, but, you know, I've been looking at this data for the better part of your professional career. And I know that this is nothing like you've seen in the past, but with what we've just talked about happening, entering one of the biggest or busiest shopping seasons, obviously retail online will flourish. But with that coupled with, you know, big companies, just a couple of them are Boeing, ESPN, and Exxon announcing large cuts across the board. I mean, what are your thoughts about the data that we'll see coming into December and January?
Well, a lot of the fourth quarter is already sort of baked in the cake, right? But
right.
I do think we'll see, you know, a weaker than normal, obviously weaker than normal Christmas. You know, we can talk about where retail sales are right now. They came in last month a little bit weaker than expected and basically almost flat. Is that reflecting? That is a fairly noisy series, so it's not clear if that's reflecting, you know, COVID, substantive COVID stuff or just sort of random fluctuation stuff. And then if you look at the retail sales for the year, obviously they're up, you know, 30% in online stores and down, you know, 15% in department stores. And I think, you know, most retail stores do most of their business, you know, around Christmas time. That's not going to be the same this year. That's going to be different.
I don't want to marry labor market statistics with real estate, but is there anything, any data you've seen on commercial real estate forbearances or any type of filings for bankruptcy or anything like that? Have any of those data points ticked up?
You know, I haven't seen those. Like you usually see more of on the forbearance stuff. I think we talked about last week a little bit that foreclosure rates are quite low. This is for individuals. I haven't seen data on corporations.
Right.
foreclosure rates are quite low because of formal or informal forbearance programs. Either they're state laws or people just don't want to do it. So, but that is, there's a number that's out today, and about 12% of Americans feel like either don't know how they're going to pay the rent or are unsure about how they're going to pay the rent next month. So that's a lot. That's
12%. So yeah, I mean, do you have an idea to give the listeners a scale of where it's been relative to 12% now?
So that that particular number actually is a survey that has the Census Department only started with the shutdown.
Okay.
So when we've talked a little bit about like 25% of Americans showing symptoms of severe depression or anxiety, that's from that same survey. So we don't have, 30 years of history. We only have 30 weeks of history for that.
Yeah. Is that an actual stat? 25% of Americans have some sort of anxiety, depression, et cetera?
Yeah, that was the last time I looked, basically all days or more than half days said they don't want to get out of bed. They don't find joy in anything. They're anxious all the time, stuff like that.
Well, I'm certainly not half of the time, but I'm a pretty positive person. And the cold weather rolling in with the kids going e-learning, and it can wear on you. It definitely changes your vibe.
But there's a big difference between saying like more than half the time or half the time.
Right? Yeah, and that's right. And I always have our
once in a while. Once in a while, we all get overwhelmed, like especially parents.
Right.
Right. But there's a big difference in saying like all the time or more than half the time. So that's from that same survey. And it's having a big economic and social disruption is having a big effect on Americans.
It is.
But, you bring up, if we talk about people's attitudes, we can talk about the consumer confidence numbers came out, and we do see confidence. So the University of Michigan sentiment numbers came out, and they were a little bit weaker than expected. But there's a very interesting pattern in those numbers, which just started in the last, 10 years or so, which is that so the way the consumer sentiment survey is, they call a bunch of people and ask them how they're doing. And then they ask them some demographic information too. One of the things they ask them, they used to do it just sometimes, now they do it all the time, is are you Republican or Democrat? And what you see, if you break out sentiment by political party affiliation, you'll see in November to January 2016, the Republicans' view of the economy went from, the sentiment number went from 80 to 110, and then it stayed way up there. And the Democrats went from 100 down to 80. So nothing changed in the economy, obviously, but like with the change of parties in 2016, people's sort of attitudes shifted in line with partisan sorting. So one of the things I'm thinking that with the confidence number or consumer sentiment number that just came out, that part of that is reflecting Republicans, even if Trump isn't conceding the election, Republicans know who won, that's going to be a depression, a little downer for Republicans in the future.
Can it be offset by the optimism of the Democrats? I guess we'll have to wait and see.
We'll see. The Democrats don't seem to be quite as polarized on that dimension, but we'll see.
With the holiday season, consumer confidence, right, which is consumer outlook, thoughts, et cetera, it has to be impacted, I would guess, significantly by not really being able to celebrate Thanksgiving or being told not to celebrate Thanksgiving, right? I mean, all these things, even though it's not directly tied to their income or to what they're going to buy, reducing your gathering or not seeing people or not using this time of the year to do happy things has to take a toll on confidence as well. So I guess it'll be interesting to see how the confidence number comes in over the next 2 weeks, or I guess next month rather.
Yeah, and it'll also depend on, we continue to have, positive vaccine news, right? So we should be getting, we should be getting 20 million people be getting vaccines by the end of December, right? And even if it's not you, because that's only less than 10% of Americans, it's, 7% of Americans, that news is going to be widely publicized. And maybe we'll be feeling like we're turning a corner.
Yeah, that's great. Hopefully that's the case, right? Hey, John, last week we spent a decent amount of time on the housing market, so I don't think we're going to repeat that focus, but there were some interesting, home builder surveys that came out. Why don't you break that down for us real quick?
Yeah, so the home builder survey is not a gauge of sort of activity. They're not counting houses, but it's more of a survey of home builders and how they're feeling about the market. And that came out as a record high, which is not surprising for people who have been paying attention to the housing market.
Right. So they're essentially, home builders are essentially saying, not so much, again, we're separating mortgage applications and actual purchases of existing homes. We're saying home builders building new homes are very optimistic right now.
Right. Business sales and sales expectations are very high for the next 6 months.
Okay.
Then you see housing starts being at a high, you know, for the last 10 or 15, 10 years at least. Still, even though there should be going into sort of a seasonal decline. And, you know, you do see apartment rents in big cities still dropping year on year, and where the apartment rents in smaller cities is back to sort of normal levels of increase. So
gotcha.
You still see people moving out of, you know, New York, Chicago, LA, and moving into, I don't know, Nashville. And there must be some town in Illinois I don't know about. Springfield, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think so. But I mean, I talk to folks that are actually some friends or kids of friends that are looking to move to Chicago, and the incentives that these buildings are trying to throw at people to compete to get these leases signed and fill these empty rooms.
Yep.
I mean, yep. You know,
there's an old saying that the cure for high prices is high prices, and the cure for low prices is low prices.
Right.
You know, the prices are low enough, and that'll induce people to move in, especially if people feel like they're turning the corner.
Right.
If you look at the state of the consumer balance sheet right now, that is looking very good. How much debt you have relative to the income, that is looking very positive in the aggregate level. Like obviously, people who are out of work and, you know, losing their jobless benefits are not in that same situation. But in the aggregate level, we've reduced debt over the crisis. Mm-hmm. And especially with interest rates so low, like even if we hadn't stayed, we hadn't reduced debt, the same amount of debt would be easier to service. So, you know, this is again on the side of the ledger, like we talked a few times that there's, you know, $1.5 trillion in excess savings, dry powder to put into the fight when the time is right. And I feel like this debt is sort of the same thing, right? People are carrying less debt than they were a year ago. It's more affordable, and the Fed has promised to keep interest rates low for a long time. So, you know, once we get a spark, it could turn into a flame quite quickly.
Right. Hey, John, let's shift over to what I think is usually one of the most interesting sections of our podcast, which is the odds and ends, or the data that isn't mainstream, but you don't always follow. What do you see out there in terms of high frequency or just interesting odd data points?
So things that listeners might not be as familiar with. One thing that is interesting is the Citibank Economic Surprise Index, which basically takes expectations, some sort of function of expectations and importance, and sort of says like how surprising have the numbers been. And those were surprising, huge to the upside, I think from May. And that is declining rapidly to being, you know, and there's some sort of bold surprises are still built into there. So we've been a little bit on the disappointing side compared to the previous 6 months. So that tends to be a fairly trendy number. So we will see how that evolves in the future if the numbers continue to surprise the downside. You know, in other high frequency data that we look at, it's telling the same story that we've been telling for the last few weeks, in that the pace of the recovery seems to be slowing. So if you look at things like Open Table, seated diners, that's actually at a local minimum, you know, for the past, last, I don't know, 10 weeks or something.
Right,
like that
makes a lot of sense, though.
And that's going to be both people not dining. It's going to be like people shutting their outside service as things get colder. I would expect that to fall more, depending on how seriously people take the current COVID outbreak. TSA security clearances, number of people going through TSA checkpoints, is basically flat in the past 10 weeks. It's been up and down a little bit, not improving at a very rapid pace. If you look at the mobility indices, you know, so you count people's cell phones, you track people's cell phones, how often, how much are they moving around? They've been very stable for a while. You know, I'm going to say like even before, and you know, we're getting sort of new as you were pointing out, like we're getting new lockdown orders sort of every day, especially in the Midwest, the northern Midwest. As those go into effect, you'd expect, you know, mobility and dining and stuff like that to drop a little bit further, and no place is opening up more now. So,
well, it's a combination of, like you're saying, it's a combination of weather and, I mean, mobility when it's beautiful outside and you can go hike around a park or you can do whatever you want to do.
Sort of, it's also like mobility is also looking at people who are going to work and stuff like that. Right.
Right. Of course. And here in Chicago, at least Illinois, and I know that in Michigan and anywhere surrounding here, everything has been, you know, highly recommended, not mandated, that you don't go to work if you don't have to. And all the things that we witnessed in March and April of 2020, it's the same thing, except instead of mandating it, it's more of a strong suggestion from the government. And you assume that mobility is going to hit the skid marks. You know, I think there will still be people traveling over the holidays, but not the busy season that they were hoping for, of course.
Yeah, but actually United came out today saying that their bookings were low, have turned lower already.
Yeah, right.
And I'm sure that they're the same as their counterparts.
Right, which is a combination of the lockdown. But, you know, this is where I agree with you in terms of people not wanting to hurt their family members. You know, I mean, in my little neighborhood in the suburb of Chicago, you do have, you know, it's starting to get very real. You have friends, close friends that are coming down with the coronavirus, and everyone's symptoms and reaction to it's much different. You have people getting winded when they walk up the stairs, and you have people that, you know, lose taste for a day. But if you are considering traveling to see your parents and we're in this little community that, it high school kids spread it and their parents get it and they pass it around, you know, you would think twice about having a baptism, in my case, or going to see your parents, because those are the folks that you really got to be careful around. So
yeah, I would definitely advise people to not go see their parents unless everyone has been very rigorous about isolating.
Right.
People are talking about having Thanksgiving on July 4th now.
Right. Well, that's actually, that kind of works, but I'd rather be out barbecuing burgers and drinking beer than doing a turkey and stuffing. But you know, John, as of today, we're planning on going on a small vacation after Christmas, the 26th or 27th through the new year. And my wife and I are just talking about quarantining from December 10th all the way through, just so we don't have to potentially cancel our vacation, right? But I guess we'll have to see how everything progresses and what the infection rates are as we get closer to middle of December.
Yeah, I'm not planning on doing anything until a vaccine is around. Also, like, New York has rules, like if you leave the state, you're supposed to quarantine for 14 days, and our kids would have to do that for school and stuff like that. So
do you think your kids are going to go back to school after the new year?
My youngest is in school right now. They get
really
tested. They all get tested every day. They get tested every week.
Is it a private school?
Yeah, it's a private school.
Yeah, right.
They get tested every week, and they are trying to stay open. My daughter has a case, and so they're shut down until after Thanksgiving and then expect to go back.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, John, I think that covers our agenda and data for this week. What are you seeing for next week?
Next week is a holiday-shortened week. We get the first reading, preliminary reading on some purchasing managers' indices. We've got some more confidence numbers. We'll have the regular claims. We'll have another revision of the GDP number. We'll have durable goods. So enough to keep us busy.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll have to coordinate on when we're going to record next week. I mean, maybe Friday morning?
Yeah, maybe Thursday right before dinner.
Yeah, right.
I'm thankful for the podcast.
The Lions, which I'm unfortunately got roped into being a fan because it's where I grew up. The Lions playing Thanksgiving. So you don't want to hear me coming all depressed as I usually sound on Sundays. So, all right, John, great talking to you. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. As always, have an awesome Thanksgiving. Be safe. And we will, of course, record next week. And see you then. Bye, John.
Bye, Mike.
To learn more about Aster Investment Management's research and strategies, please visit us on the web at www.asterim.com or stay up to date by following us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and our app is also available on the App Store and Google Play. Thank you. Aster Investment Management, LLC, is a SEC-registered investment advisor. All information contained herein is for informational purposes only. This is not a solicitation to offer investment advice or services in any state, where to do so would be unlawful. Analysis and research are provided for informational purposes only, not for trading or investing purposes. All opinions expressed are as of the date of publication and subject to change. They are not intended as investment recommendations.